Holder, 12-2200.
May it please your honors, Ray Amakohene for the appellant in this situation. Counsel, your honor, this is an appeal against the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals, the BIA, on the application for asylum by the applicant. In a situation like this, this court reviews the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals on the standard of whether their decision is clearly erroneous. It is the view of the appellant that in this situation, the findings of the Board of Immigration Appeals was clearly erroneous. The decision was basically based on the findings that the applicant in his application and testimony before the immigration judge was inconsistent. But this is our view that the inconsistency was not really inconsistent on examination of the alleged inconsistencies, one can only conclude that these are not really inconsistencies and that the inconsistencies are a mirage. Because if you clearly examine them, you find out that they are not really inconsistent. I can cite some of the alleged inconsistencies that the applicant was supposed to have made in his testimonies and his applications for asylum.
Counsel, maybe I could direct you to the really important inconsistency in the record as I understand the case, and that's the one having to do with the reason why your client was being targeted and his family were being targeted. And that seems to have shifted in a number of respects along the way. So perhaps you could address yourself to that.
Throughout his testimony, the African actually testified that his father was targeted because of his political views, or because he was a member of a tribe in Mauritania called the Black Fulanis. And in my view, if you examine the two testimonies and the two applications, there was no shifting of this particular point of view. He testified that his father was a prominent priest or imam who was a member of a tribe called the Black Fulani in Mauritania, that his father was an advisor to the Black Fulanis, especially in their disagreement with the government and the exodus, which occasioned an exodus of them from Mauritania to the nearby country of Senegal. If you read the transcripts, the record, and the brief that I presented in this particular case, you could see that there was no shift. There was really no shift in the position of the applicant. He may not have highlighted in some of the testimonies, he may not have used the same words. But if you look at the whole situation, you could draw one conclusion, and that is that he was speaking of the same thing. Because I think the BIA pointed and the PIA pointed out, and the judge also pointed out, and this was endorsed by the BIA as a consistency, and that was the fact that he, at one point in the testimony, the applicant was asked whether his father had a political opinion, and then he answered, "No, my father was not in politics." But this is really somebody who is not sophisticated and repeating over and over again questions that have been asked him. He said something like, "My father was not in politics, but my father helped a group that was actually moving from our country to the next country because of treatment given to them by the government. After all, what is politics? Anything that one says which concerns all of us is politics. It's not a subject or a subject that is easy to define." And if you look throughout his testimonies, you could see that he said his father was in trouble because of his advice, his preachings, and the help that he was giving to people that was essentially were against the government's position, and they felt threatened, and they felt discriminated against, and therefore they were moving into another country. Anybody that actually subscribed to a view which is contrary to what the establishment holds and who acts against that decision, especially if the decision is about a whole group of people rather than an individual, it is my view that that statement is political if really it's against what the establishment also holds.
Would you like to save some time for rebuttal?
I would like to save some few time for rebuttal.
Okay. Ms. Martin?
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court, my name is Christina Martin, and I'm here on behalf of the U.S. Attorney General. Your Honors, this is a simple case of an asylum applicant who had four opportunities to present his story, but he still didn't provide the immigration judge with one consistent, believable account. In this case, the agency denied Mr. Saul's asylum application based on his failure to meet his burden of proof, because of his lack of credibility and his minimal corroboration. Among the many reasons cited by the immigration judge for the adverse credibility determination, the board focused on two topics, each of which had multiple inconsistencies that go to the heart of his asylum claim. These inconsistencies created a pattern of shifting information and testimony that reasonably caused the agency to find Mr. Saul unbelievable. Additionally, his minimal corroborating evidence didn't help him to meet his burden of proof. As Your Honor noted, one of the topics that the board chose to focus on was the reason for Mr. Saul's harm. As you noted, there was a shifting in the different types of harm that he claimed, reasons he claimed, or on account of, that the harm was supposed to be on account of. In his first application, he said it was based on his race, his father's political opinion, and his membership in FLAM, the Fulani group. In his second application, which was his amended application, it was race, ethnicity, that his father supported FLAM, and that he wouldn't be able to express his political opinions freely. But then later on, in his first testimony, he mentioned that it was because his father was a spiritual guide, and the military, he was a well-known imam, and that the military wanted his belongings. But he also said that his father was threatened because, as counsel mentioned, his father helped people go to Senegal. But then in his second testimony, He did mention race, ethnicity, and his father. But then he said that he never applied for political asylum. In fact, his claim had absolutely nothing to do with political opinion.
He also, as I understand the record, professed unfamiliarity with the Fulani militia group FLOM.
Correct.
In his testimony when questioned a couple of times about it, even though that was a basis of the written applications.
That's correct, Your Honor. He mentioned FLOM in his first asylum application, which was done pro se, but then he mentioned it again in his amended asylum application, and counsel helped him prepare that application, and he still didn't know what FLOM was.
And I was just curious on a whole other topic. The government is not arguing that he should be deported to Senegal, and I understand his position that, you know, that's where his wife and children are, and he says he can't afford to support them. But I was curious why. Was that the reason the government didn't argue he should be deported to Senegal versus Mauritania?
Mauritania is his country of nationality, and that's why the order of removal was for there. For that, he, from what he told the court, he didn't have any refugee status or any other type of status in Senegal for him to be able to return there.
Okay.
Well, if the court has no more questions, I'd just like to conclude. Because the agency's decision is supported by substantial record evidence and there are no extraordinary circumstances to compel a different result, I ask the court to defer to the agency and deny the petition for review. Thank you.
How much time? 2 minutes, sir. You have 2 minutes.
Counsel referred to applicants' reference to the FLN, which is a group in Mauritania, which is composed mainly of Black Fulanese in their struggle against the government. Well, Your Honor, I just have to mention that whenever you have a situation where a person says something in one language and then somebody tries to translate it, it is always difficult and it always creates this kind of confusion. The applicant, if you look at the record, he was asked about the FLN and he said, what is it? But then he went on to describe a situation which represents the FLN. It's just like, I think
the acronym comes from the French, though.
Yes,
it's
a French
distance. It's not an anglicized acronym, so the translation issue is really a non-issue.
Well, he was testifying in his native language. And this reminds me of a play written by a French dramatist in which a character was trying to learn speaking. And the teacher told him that there are only two ways of speaking. You either speak poetry or you speak prose. And then he asked, what is prose? And he was told that that is exactly what you are doing. And he was surprised. He has been speaking prose. He said, I've been speaking prose all my life. And I never knew that I was speaking prose. He described so many things that actually showed that a member of that group, or his father was a member of that group, even though on cross-examination he said that he didn't know it. But then if you look at the record, a cross-examination of the record, you could see that the father did belong to that group.
All right. Thank you. We'll take the case under advisement.